Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John and we have another mini video primer for you today. Decklist primers are a concept that has taken root as a core part of the CEDH scene, with the idea being that once you have read through a primer, you should have the information you need to pick up and play a deck. Most of the necessary aspects of a decklist primer you will see on a CEDH deck will include a brief introduction on the deck with a pitch of why you should play it, strengths and weaknesses, as well as a comprehensive section on gameplay, interaction, and paths to winning the game. I have included a full primer, links down below, but for now, I am going to try to tell you why you should be playing Torbrand's Off-Brand Super Friends. This deck is a chaotic deck, leaning towards focused and utilizing Torbrand, Thane of Redfell's additive bonus to red damage sources with small, efficient effects that make it act more like a multiplicative bonus. Decks in the chaotic quadrant heavily favor variety of gameplay over consistency, but include some extremely efficient cards. These decks may feature a core game plan which is very difficult to execute, or even emergent combos with no tutors to select key pieces. A focused deck, meanwhile, prioritizes threats over answers, optimizing for the short game. A focused deck seeks to close out the game before a value deck can take over. Now let's get things started with our commander. Our commander is Torbrand, Thane of Redfell. This is a legendary creature, Dwarf Noble, a 2-4 for 1 red, 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 that is a mana value of 4. If a red source you control would deal damage to an opponent, or a permanent an opponent controls, it deals that much damage plus 2 instead. Why play this deck? Torbrand is going to get the game going and get life totals low. An efficient base of goblins to establish a board presence, combined with Torbrand's base plus 2 to damage, means that you can take surprising chunks out of the life totals of opponents quite quickly. If you like the combat step and announce that your 3/1/1 goblin creature tokens are dealing a total of 18 damage when they attack unblocked, this deck may be for you. Strengths and weaknesses. In terms of strengths, our commander's high synergy with red damage in almost all of its forms makes many cards that aren't even on the radar of most commander players into powerful, efficient effects. Pyroclasm effects in particular can turn into asymmetric board wipes, while Lightning Bolt can bring down even the most powerful creatures in the format for a single red mana, and a card like Cavalcade of Calamity is a game-ending threat when it comes down. Having access to efficient removal that red often lacks as a color means that Torbrand has many more interactive effects that many opponents might be used to, being able to take down even large, threatening creatures through direct damage and giving us more reach in the late game. Fortunately, R&D has shown a lot of favoritism towards red recently, and red has become a much more viable color in general. Torbrand's lean into efficient spells means that our deck has a high action economy, able to convert a single turn into multiple turns worth of actions, thanks in large part to Torbrand's effectively multiplicative bonus to red sources of damage. Now, being in monocolor, we do have our share of weaknesses. A mono-red, go-wide token deck needs to get the damage done before someone can wipe the board of all of our tokens and all of our built-up massive advantage. We've built in a few synergies to add some inevitability to the deck, but the fact remains that Torbrand by his lonesome isn't going to win many games. Similarly, without Torbrand joining the fray from the command zone, we're left with a few dorky creatures and effects that deal tiny chips of damage. Our deck being very commander-centric means that a well-timed piece of removal will often put us far behind our opponents. Further, Torbrand's cost of 1 red, red, red means we need to lean heavily on mana rocks that tap for colored mana in a mono-color deck, which makes our early game much less reliable at landing him early and limits our selection of efficient mana rocks, and means we don't have the same speed that many other mono-red aggro decks might have to establish their board position. We have a little bit of late-game card advantage thanks to recent pushes in Red's Slice of the Color Pie, but that's not a major goal of the deck. We would much rather be spending our cards to get more tokens onto the battlefield for more action economy early in the game than we really want to spend sculpting a hand for the late game. Our complete lack of tutors means that we are at the whims of our deck, and unlike in slower, more value-oriented decks, we're not able to reliably sculpt a hand to achieve a consistent game plan. Unique themes. In terms of unique themes, Mono Red Goblins is hardly unique, but Torbrand manages to take it in an interesting and unique direction. Our critical mass of goblins can be as few as 3, which means we get to be picky with which bodies we put into the deck. The deck also benefits from tribal goblin synergies, but it doesn't need that normal mass of anthems in order to make those 1/1s relevant. We actually benefit more from the cards which take advantage of goblins as sources of direct damage, such as Siege Gang Commander and Pashalik Mons, than we would with cards like Goblin King or Goblin Chieftain. Since the anthems only add to Torbran's bonus, while Siege Gang and his ilk can squeeze an additional lightning bolt's worth of damage out of every 1/1 we put onto the field. For a deck based around small creatures, we're also not so dependent on the Goblin Tribal theme that we need to turn away cards from outside of that tribe which also still synergize with Torbran's effects. Young Pyromancer's 1/1 elemental creature tokens enjoy the same virtual damage multiplier that Torbran offers while also synergizing with our package of instant and sorcery-based interaction and token generators. Anax Hardened in the Forge happily replaces our non-creature tokens with 1/1 Satyrs with Haste, and the War of the Spark uncommon Tybalt Rakish Instigator makes 1/1 Devil creatures that also deal damage when they die. Our deck also doesn't need to overcommit to the board in order to get the job done. Having just 3 extra 1/1s on the battlefield can often be enough to seriously pressure life totals when Torbran comes down. Combine that with Torbran's toughness of 4, and we can exploit some of Red's damage-based sweepers to make sure that Torbran survives and our opponents will be set back much farther than we will. Anger of the Gods will spare Torbran, but exile things with up to 5 toughness on the other side of the battlefield, and it's often very easy to take down even larger creatures when they're first forced to block our 1/1s and already have 3 damage marked on them from combat. Pyrohemia in particular is an all-star in this deck. It's an enchantment for 2 red-red, which reads, at the end of turn, if no creatures are in play, sacrifice Pyrohemia. Then for a single red mana, you can activate the enchantment to have Pyrohemia deal 1 damage to each creature and each player. We can easily stomach 1 damage as easily as Torbran does, but 12 damage per turn cycle as a potential upper limit of the damage that we can do adds up quickly for our opponents. Finally, we have our titular off-brand Super Friends. Planeswalkers were a much more prominent theme in early versions of the deck, but the package has been slimmed down significantly over time as more efficient cards have taken their places. Our trio of Chandras are helpful ways to see extra cards on a regular basis, while Koth of the Hammer is probably our favorite Planeswalker to see because of his impression of Garruk Wildspeaker. Koth of the Hammer is 2 red-red for a Planeswalker Koth that enters with 3 loyalty. Koth's +1 loyalty ability reads, untap target mountain, it becomes a 4/4 red elemental creature token until end of turn, it's still a land. But his -2 is, add red to your mana pool for each mountain you control, allowing us to buy back a significant amount of the mana we just spent to cast Koth. Koth is in here primarily as a pseudo source of ramp. Our package of Planeswalkers supports our goal of having a high action economy by providing us a free action on each of our turns which doesn't require additional mana investment. Mono Red has gotten pretty good at generating bursts of mana, but still has some difficulty at generating sustained mana ramp. While we're aiming to keep our curve low and thus our efficiency high, these Planeswalkers help us tilt the action economy further in our favor. Even a free 1/1 Devil creature token off of Tybalt Rakish Instigator each turn cycle can really add up. This particular Tybalt is 2 and a red for a legendary Planeswalker Tybalt with a starting loyalty of 5, the static ability that your opponents can't gain life, and a -2 ability of create a 1/1 red Devil creature token with, when this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to any target. Interactions and decisions. Torbran's ideal opening hand is going to include a way to get bodies onto the battlefield before Torbran, a clear way to ramp into Torbran, and another form of virtual damage multiplication. 2 out of 3 of these is usually good enough for us to get where the deck needs to be. While Torbran has some of Red's newer tools to grind out value if needed, it's definitely leaning more in the focus direction, and we would rather use our draw effects to enable multi-spell turns, tilting the action economy in our favor and overwhelming our opponents. A common line of play is to attack with a few dorky creatures to get damage in, then cast a pyroclasm-type spell to damage every creature on the battlefield, and follow that spell up with a creature or sorcery that puts a few bodies back onto the battlefield. All of our pyroclasm effects are tuned in such a way that they will not remove Torbran. Torbran only increases the damage dealt to our opponents and permanents they control. So 3 damage is the most you will see printed on our symmetrical mass damage spells. Without Torbran on the battlefield to act as that damage multiplier, our board presence and damage output are not particularly threatening. We sometimes have to telegraph that we are planning to wipe the board by holding Torbran back from an attack, which he would otherwise survive. We do this because we have to prioritize Torbran's survival very highly. In fact, it's sometimes better to skip playing Torbran if you don't have an effect to immediately capitalize on his damage that is already in play or all ready to go. The goal of our removal and interaction suite should be to open opponents up to the beatdown plan that Torbran depends on. The only time we can really afford to ease up on the gas is when we have Purphoros, God of the Forge, or Impact Tremors active, and we're comfortable that we have the ability to generate lethal damage with the cards in hand or on board. Exceptions to this can be when an opponent is on a value game plan, and they're trying to stick a creature which represents an insurmountable resource advantage, particularly when they can also stymie our attacks effectively, such as with big creatures like Consecrated Sphinx, Korvold, Fey-Cursed King, or Tatiova, Benthic Druid. Winning the game. Torbran, as a mono-red deck, is a chaotic deck. We don't have the tutors to set up specific lines to win, so we're trying to sculpt the board state in this way. Number one, we need Torbran on the battlefield. We need that damage multiplier. Number two, we want to have a secondary damage multiplier. We want something that is going to represent a damage for something besides just connecting with our creatures. And we want ways to trigger these damage multipliers. So we are going to want to have lots of ways to generate multiple bodies for a minimal card investment. Krenko Mob Boss and Krenko Tin Street Kingpin are the poster children for this, but we also run some of Krenko's favorite spells to make multiple goblin tokens, like Dragon Fodder, Krenko's Command, and Mogmoor Marshal. All 2-mana effects that are going to give us at least 2 bodies. We're running lots of 2-drops, and if they don't bring extra bodies, we're trying to lean on them for having goblin synergies, or as sources of incidental damage. Punisher effects that we're looking at, such as Harsh Mentor or Immolation Shaman. Harsh Mentor is 1 in a red for a 2/2 creature human cleric, which reads, whenever an opponent activates an ability of an artifact, creature, or land on the battlefield, if it isn't a mana ability, Harsh Mentor deals 2 damage to that player. Immolation Shaman is similar for 1 and a red for a 1/3 creature, Viashino Shaman. Whenever an opponent activates an ability of an artifact, creature, or land that isn't a mana ability, Immolation Shaman deals 1 damage to that player. Immolation Shaman also has an activated ability for 3 red-red, which reads, Immolation Shaman gets +3/+3 and gains menace until end of turn. If we are unable to keep our damage multipliers triggering with bodies entering the battlefield and swinging and sometimes even dying, then sometimes we have to fall back on the plan of simply dealing direct damage to our opponents to finish the game off. By this point, we're really hoping that our initial game plan has gone well enough to get our opponents to reasonably low life totals, because the pickings are slim at this point. The best option for winning outside of combat is something like Pyrohemia, the enchantment that I described earlier, which Torbran breaks symmetry on hard. If we can stick Torbran and Pyrohemia, and we have lots of mana, we can theoretically activate Pyrohemia 3 times on each end step and have Torbran survive, taking 12 damage ourselves during each round of a table, and dealing a whopping 36 damage to our opponents. Short of that, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel with effects like Retracing Flame Jab over and over, or repeated pings from cards like Goblin Sharpshooter, 2 and a red for a 1/1 creature goblin who does not untap during your untap step, but whenever a creature dies, untap Goblin Sharpshooter. And then it has an activated ability of tap, Goblin Sharpshooter deals 1 damage to target creature or player. With Torbran, that's 3 damage. It represents something, but it is hard to fall back on that. If we can't get Torbran to stick, we're basically in Vulture mode, hoping that we can stay at a safe distance and grind out enough value from cards like Subira, Tulzidi, Caravaner, and maybe the Monarch to hover at a safe distance and limp our way across the finish line with our unmultiplied damage dealers. Subira is a legendary creature human shaman, a 2/3 with haste. Her activated abilities include 1. Another target creature with power 2 or less can't be blocked this turn, and more importantly, 1 in a red tap, discard your hand until the end of turn whenever a creature you control with power 2 or less deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. Having a few ways to refill our hands in the late game if all else has failed at least gives us a chance to get back into the game instead of simply folding to the more value-oriented decks. So that about wraps it up for the general deck primer for Torbrand's off-brand Superfrans. If you like this deck, take a look down in the comments below for a link to the deck list itself and a full primer. If you have your own Torbrand deck, or maybe if you moved on to one of the additions that I made recently to the deck with the new Kaldheim god Torolf and are now trying a different commander out, I'd love to hear about it. Be sure to leave a comment below, send us an email, we are gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Add us on Twitter, we are gemstonemindmtg. Until next time, I'm John, this is Gemstone Mine, take care. You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter @GemstoneMindMTG or send us an email at GemstoneMindPodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.